Welcome to Building Insights. I'm James Parker, editor of Architects Datafile. This edition of Building Insights is brought to you in association with VM Zinc. And today I'm speaking to Jonathan Lowy, operational marketing manager at the firm. John's held several roles in his time at VM, but maintains a really infectious enthusiasm for all things Zinc. Despite a long history since its emergence as a roofing material for townhouses in Paris, Zinc is still something of a newcomer in UK roofing and cladding. However, architects love its subtle looks and roofers love its workability, so it's a compelling choice. It was great to chat to John about Zinc's future in the UK market and how it's progressed from Napoleon III to the Stirling Prize. Hi, John. Many thanks for joining us on Building Insights.
Great to be with you this morning, James.
And it's good to talk about Zinc past and future, and obviously very popular material with architects. Could you possibly give me a little historical origins for people that may not be familiar as a material in the envelope?
Absolutely. Zinc has got quite a long history. It really goes back over 200 years to the beginning of the 19th century. There was an abbot come chemist, a guy called Jean-Jacques Dony, who was based in what's now modern-day Belgium, who sort of invented a way of extracting zinc. That quite quickly moved to Paris in the middle of the 19th century, and Baron Haussmann, under Napoleon III's instructions, redeveloped Paris in a massive project.
With those huge boulevards to avoid people building barricades, etc.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So sort of going back to the Miserables, yeah, and having small groups of soldiers that could fire cannonball down big boulevards. That's exactly correct. And the material of choice for the roofs of these buildings on these grand boulevards was zinc. It was relatively local. The mines were sort of, as I said, modern-day Belgium, and it was available. I don't think Haussmann wanted the city to look like an Italian city, so copper wasn't an option, and lead wasn't locally available. We're still asked on a regular basis about all that lead that's used in Paris. None of it is lead. It's all zinc. At the same time, in the middle of the 19th century, gutters were used. They were all made out of zinc. So zinc was the material that was used for gutters and downpipes, which again, in the UK, it's more been traditionally cast iron, and obviously more recently, plastic. It did actually migrate all around the world. And in the 19th century, zinc was being used in places like the US, in the UK. The difference there is that zinc was really used on grand buildings that were sort of government-type buildings, as opposed to an everyday material. There's an example which still has a zinc roof on it in Liverpool called Liverpool Central Library. That was built, I think, in 1879. But the common use of zinc as a sort of an everyday material to sort of clad dormers and gutters, that never quite reached outside, certainly Western Europe. Zinc as a material has been used all around the world, in Asia as well. There's actually a project in Vietnam, Notre Dame Cathedral, which was again built in the late 19th century with a zinc roof, and it's actually the zinc roof's been replaced as we speak.
Not only is it aesthetically quite a distinctive and attractive material, it's also very workable, isn't it?
Sometimes zinc is described as a hard metal as opposed to lead, which is a soft metal. So zinc is not quite as malleable as lead, but it is quite easy to work. Zinc and copper are actually very, very similar. Obviously, one's grey, one's red, but you can fold zinc, you can solder zinc. It is malleable, it's workable. So it's considered a hard metal, but it's certainly not as hard and stiff as steel and aluminium. So it has that sort of characteristic of being able to form into various shapes, and that's why it's actually used as a material for ornaments. You can spin zinc, and you can create some quite interesting shapes and forms with zinc. There's a tiny bit of titanium and a tiny bit of copper, which is alloyed into zinc to give it slightly better tensile strength. But we're talking about 1 kilo per ton. So it's sort of much, much less than 1%. So essentially, it's pure zinc. It's a nominal amount. And copper and titanium are not toxic either.
So when was it first used in the UK, John?
Well, as I said, there was Liverpool Central Library, which is in 1879. There was the front of King's Cross Station had a zinc fascia. Brighton Railway Station had a zinc roof. So the exact dates, not quite sure, but sort of mid-late 19th century. So during Victorian times, zinc was quite widely used in the UK. And it carried on being used in the UK until sort of really after the Second World War. There was actually zinc still being refined in the UK for building use up until about the early 70s. And then it sort of really faded and faded, and it started coming back in the 1990s due to companies like VM Zinc getting involved in the UK market and starting to talk to architects about zinc. It's not a material that needs to be painted. I mean, you can paint zinc, but it'd be a bit like painting copper. Why would you do it? It doesn't need to be protected. And its aesthetic attraction is of a non-painted surface. I think it is interesting that certainly in probably France and Belgium and Germany, zinc is still considered quite a traditional material. In the UK, it's sort of considered a far more contemporary material. So the same material by architects is looked at quite differently on two sides of the channel. And it's probably because it's sort of had a bit of a renaissance in the UK with architects, and they're looking at it, as I said, in a more contemporary way. So zinc gets used far more in the UK for facades than it does in France. I mean, probably about 30 or 40% of zinc that's used in the UK and Ireland goes on walls, whereas that's probably in France, it's a much, much smaller percentage. So it's sort of in France and Belgium, Germany, it's got a sort of a set place, a little bit like we have lead has its sort of set place in the UK, whereas in the UK architects really, I suppose, sort of have a freedom maybe to use zinc in a way that they don't on the continent in some ways.
Yes.
Which is quite interesting.
I mean, absolutely, sort of cultural differences that mean that it's presumably seen as a heritage product mostly in France, whereas here it's seen as quite a kind of esoteric choice.
Exactly. It's exactly that. You go from heritage to here to far more contemporary. So sometimes in France, we have colleagues that are trying to convince architects to use it on slightly more interesting contemporary buildings. And in the UK, we're sometimes speaking to architects, why don't you use it on a church? So we're sort of coming different angles, but exactly the same material, and often actually the same techniques that are used, whether it be standing seam or whether it be interlocking panels on walls. It's not the material or the systems. It's just a sort of a slightly different outlook, mindset on the same material. I started working for VM Zinc many, many years ago, actually based in France. So I've seen how it works there. I'm sort of still regularly involved with my French colleagues and German and Belgian colleagues. So I do get that opportunity to see the difference. UK architects often think of Paris and they say, well, that's all lead. And then I say, no, it's zinc. And they're sort of quite shocked. There's the odd tiny little lead roof in Paris, but 99% of the grey metal in Paris is all zinc. It's just an interesting way people look at things. There's a great deal of discussion about what architects should know, what their technical knowledge should be. I mean, there's an incredible number of products and systems, some of which are getting incredibly complicated. So knowing about everything is impossible.
More and more info landing on their desk every day. Yes.
Yeah, it's tough. We do spend a lot of time in the UK going to architects, talking about what zinc can do, what it can't do as well sometimes, because it can't do everything. We do an awful lot of CPDs, which give an idea to architects how the products can be used.
What are the main markets now then?
Sort of internationally, France, Germany, Belgium, Denmark are big markets. But the UK has really, really caught up. As I said, it's gone from almost zero in 1990 to being quite a major market for us in 2024. So things have dramatically changed. There is a difference in that it's more contemporary in the UK. It's more facade orientated. and zinc is really not used that much as a gutter and downpipe and sort of flashing material other than on a zinc roof, whereas that's a bit different on the continent. So there are differences, but it's the UK is a big market for us. Certainly, if you look at contemporary facades, it's got to be right up there as possibly, you know, as important as France, but we don't have that extensive history. So it's quite a big thing for us.
And potentially recladding, not just new build.
Zinc's always been involved in reclad retrofit. That's happened for decades. Nothing new there. Obviously, there is the recent Grenfell Tower has changed things.
Of course, we should probably say that it was going to be zinc at one point in the refurbishment, and that was value engineered out. So
it was. You're absolutely correct. Zinc was aesthetically the material that was sort of on the cards, and that got value engineered out a few years before anybody got near site. How much of a difference things that would have made is impossible to know. But originally, it was going to be zinc. There have been a number of projects across the country where zinc was used. Substrates were not quite maybe what they should have been, and the zinc's been replaced with new zinc. There's nothing, the zinc itself is a metal, so zinc is actually non-combustible A1, but if you put it on various substrates, timber, PIR, then that can complicate things. So the zinc itself is not the problem from a fire perspective. It's how,
what sandwich is it in? Yes.
What the substrate is, and sometimes that historically hasn't always been what it should be.
Regarding the uptake among UK architects, what are the perceived barriers now? I'm thinking particularly on roofing and how do we get around that?
You know, there is always the issue of cost. Zinc actually is not that expensive. I suppose it's a sort of a mid-range material. You know, it is less than
to steel pound for pound, or is that too blunt a comparison?
It depends a little bit what you're doing with the steel, because steel is nearly always going to be galvanized, which is steel covered with zinc, and it's nearly always going to be painted. So depending on the quality of the galvanizing and the quality of the paint, it might not be that much less than zinc. Painted galvanized steel is going to be less than zinc, but in some instances, it might not be that much less. It might be fairly marginal. And as you mentioned earlier, zinc is far more workable and malleable. So if you've got any sort of complicated detailing, often the installation time for zinc is actually less than for steel. If you have a very, very simple roof, that's not going to be the case quite so much. But anything that's complex, zinc can sometimes have an advantage over sort of a stiffer material like steel.
And so cost is number one. Are there any other gripes?
When projects have been looked at, obviously different projects, different people have different requirements, but we sort of, you know, aesthetics are important. So zinc's quite, you know, effective there. Certification is important. Now, you know, it's in the modern day, we have quite a lot of certification, whether it be sort of BBA for roofs or B roof T4 for fire tests. One of the problems is that certification, especially fire, is quite prescriptive, and you need to have the exact build-up for the project in question. So we have fire tests, but we don't always have every single type of build-up, every single thickness of insulation. Now, some fire engineers are quite understanding or say, right, well, I've seen it's passed this test, and that's clearly passed it if the insulation is slightly thicker or thinner. Others are a little bit less forgiving. So that can sometimes be an issue. A lot of certification does exist for zinc, but it's a sort of ongoing, and we're always actually adding testing. So that can be an issue.
Yes, because people want to know this particular material, what's the fire rating? And it's not as simple as that.
No, it's not as simple as that. I mean, you can talk about the actual material, then you can talk about build-ups, then you can talk about thicknesses of material, finishes of material, slopes on roofs. There's an awful lot of variables. So we We try to cover them as much as possible.
CPDs are a good thing, yeah.
There's obviously other materials, whether it be stainless steel, whether it be copper, whether it be lead, which are all more expensive than zinc generally. And then there's aluminium. Again, aluminium's a little bit like steel. It's fairly rare that you use bare aluminium. You'll put different coatings, anodizing. So it's sometimes quite difficult to compare because there's an awful, again, a bit like tests, there's an awful lot of variables. But you know, cost is something that sometimes zinc's actually it's used because it's less expensive than something else. We always think of it as being very expensive, but it's not. You know, there's always somebody that's more expensive. We've been very, very fortunate in the last 2 years with the sterling prize because both the last two winners, Neil McLaughlin's Magdalen Library in Cambridge and the John Magdalen Centre by May Architects in London, used a quartz zinc, that's a pre-weathered zinc roof. Obviously quite prestigious buildings, quite different buildings. So it's fortunate. So we sort of had said, so if you want to win the sterling prize, just put a zinc roof on your building. Not sure it's quite as simple as that.
But as you say, they're both different buildings as well. So it does show people that it's not just for a heritage college. Yeah,
exactly. Then we also did a project, King's College Sports Pavilion School, with David Morley Architects, that was installed by a company called All Metal Roofing, and that's quite a contemporary looking building. Combines quite a lot of glazing, combines a green roof with some zinc standing seam. So that's sort of fairly contemporary. And at the other end of the scale, we were involved in the visitor centre at Lincoln Cathedral, which is done by Simpson Brown Architects. And obviously that's in a very, very important place, right next to Lincoln Cathedral, an awful lot of heritage and tradition there. So again, the same material, quartz zinc, pre-weathered quartz zinc, being used on quite a contemporary building, and then a building that's really got to look after its position with regard to Lincoln Cathedral.
Just lastly, sustainability is the perennial question now. There's a few processes that need to happen in order to take zinc out of the ground and get it to a pure state. But are you managing to include more recyclability in your proposition to clients to help offset that and the durability side as well? Does that kind of get across in discussions around sustainability? Because I assume you've got a bit of a carbon footprint to explain and deal with.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We have a carbon footprint, but you're quite right that durability is key. Zinc has a service life of approximately 100 years. And that's, I suppose, the key thing is when a zinc roof or wall goes up, you're not having to replace it. And indeed, you're not really having to do much maintenance either. And once it is, you have got to the 100-year mark or so, it can be taken off and recycled. Now, in our process, we're always looking to try and recycle more. We're recycling about 20% of post-consumer zinc in our process. Zinc will never get thrown into landfill. It's got quite a circuit that this is financially rewarding for people. So a zinc roof, it stays in circulation because it has a value. So an old zinc roof gets taken off, it goes to a recycling unit, and it will be used, could be used for a new zinc roof, but it could also be used for galvanizing. It could also be used for brass production. It could be used for zinc oxide. It could be used for a number of uses. I mean, zinc is there's an awful lot more zinc that's used for other things other than roofs and walls. In our process, we've dramatically reduced the amount of water that we use in the process and energy. The ovens that are used to heat up the zinc use less energy than they used to. And as I said, we have a number of projects to increase the actual amount that we can use from old roofs into new roofs. I suppose that the biggest key one is the durability with pretty low maintenance. That's the sort of big advantage for the end user. You don't need to put a new zinc roof on every 20, 30, 40, 50 years. It goes up and it stays up.
And it's an inherently corrosion resistant material. So it has a longer service life than most.
I mean, it'll on average, it'll corrode at about 2 microns a year. And an average zinc roof, it starts life off as 700 microns. So it will corrode, but everything corrodes, but very, very slowly.
Mm. So as long as people can factor in durability more into their carbon emissions targets, which is a bit of a holy grail at the moment, because we're still fighting to get embodied carbon in, and dealing with durability is an even bigger challenge, perhaps, to put it into the overall equation. Because there's so many things now that come into the carbon.
Yeah, I mean it's a tough question, and it's every material is can't just be looked at in isolation. I mean, for example, zinc is because you use fairly thin thicknesses, it's relatively light. So you can have a zinc roof that weighs maybe 7 kilos or so a square meter. So the structure that holds up the zinc roof, whether that be a metallic structure or a timber structure, can actually be less than if you were doing a tiled roof, or certainly a lead roof, which is much, much heavier. So the zinc roof will last a long time, but it might also enable you to have actually a slimmer structure, which then again has less embodied carbon in it. The installer base that we work with are they're all UK and Irish based companies. They're not branches of French or German or Belgian companies. They're all UK based and have they sort of have various histories. Some have sort of come a little bit from lead and have gone towards harder metals. There are sort of different ways that different companies have done things, but there are some excellent installers around the country who do really, really good work. And I think that needs to be highlighted when we're showing off projects. You know, we talk about the creativity and the skills of the architects, which is absolutely required, but people have to execute that. And I think that Neil McLaughlin on the project in Cambridge, he highlighted that, not just about the installer of the zinc, but the overall construction process. There were some very, very skilled contractors that worked on that. And we do knock ourselves. It's always easy to be negative, but there are some positives about UK construction. I'm not going to say it's all great, but there are some positives. So we should sort of congratulate the people that are doing the right thing and get involved in training and apprenticeships.
That's a great way to finish on a positive, to craftsmanship in roofing and cladding. Thanks again for joining us, John.
Pleasure, James. Absolutely.